Ordered South by Robert Louis Stevenson. Read by Mark Young. By a curious irony of fate, the places to which we are sent when health deserts us are often singularly beautiful. Often, too, they are places we have visited in former years, or seen briefly in passing by, and kept ever afterwards in pious memory. And we please ourselves with the fancy that we shall repeat many vivid and pleasurable sensations and take up again the thread of our enjoyment in the same spirit as we let it fall. We shall now have an opportunity of finishing many pleasant excursions, interrupted of yore before our curiosity was fully satisfied. It may be that we have kept in mind, during all these years, the recollection of some valley into which we have just looked down for a moment before we lost sight of it in the disorder of the hills. It may be that we have lain awake at night and agreeably tantalized ourselves with the thoughts of corners we had never turned, or summits we had all but climbed. We shall now be able, as we tell ourselves, to complete all these unfinished pleasures and pass beyond the barriers that confined our recollections. The promise is so great, and we are all so easily led away when hope and memory are both in one story, that I dare say the sick man is not very inconsolable when he receives sentence of banishment, and is inclined to regard his ill health as not the least fortunate accident of his life. Nor is he immediately undeceived. The stir and speed of the journey, and the restlessness that goes to bed with him as he tries to sleep between 2 days of noisy progress, fever him, and stimulate his dull nerves into something of their old quickness and sensibility. And so he can enjoy the faint autumnal splendour of the landscape, as he sees hill and plain, vineyard and forest, clad in one wonderful glory of fairy gold, which the first great winds of winter will transmute, as in the fable, into withered leaves. And so, too, he can enjoy the admirable brevity and simplicity of such glimpses of country and country ways as flash upon him through the windows of the train, little glimpses that have a character all their own, sight seen as a travelling swallow might see them from the wing, or iris as she went abroad over the land on some Olympian errand. Here and there, indeed, a few children huzzah and wave their hands to the express, but for the most part, it is an interruption too brief and isolated to attract much notice. The sheep do not cease from their browsing. A girl sits balanced on the projecting tiller of a canal boat, so precariously that it seems as if a fly or the splash of a leaping fish would be enough to overthrow the dainty equilibrium. And yet all these hundreds of tons of coal and wood and iron have been precipitated, roaring past her very ear, and there is not a start, not a tremor, not a turn of the averted head, to indicate that she has even been conscious of its passage. Here is
sample complete. Ready to continue?